Well, good morning, Ridgepoint Fellowship, and good to know that you're joining us here live streaming from our sanctuary in Dallas. I'm Bob Vasendak, and I'm the pastor here at Ridgepoint, and we want to thank all of the folks that are joining us from all around the country today to hear the Word of God and to hear what the Spirit says to the church. All right, I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 13. At the top of Psalm 13 in our Bibles, it says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David." A psalm of David. And so I'm going to read the first six verses, and then we'll get right into the message for today. David says in Psalm chapter 13 and verse 1, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." The Chinese filmmaker, whose name was Yu Chaofeng, believes that his 2019 short film entitled Pearl can help heal the wounds of the past, not only for his own family, but for many other families who have suffered the scourge of child abandonment. His film is set in the fishing village in Fujian, China, where Feng's mother grew up as a little girl. His grandmother, a poor widow, abandons his mother at the age of six to seek a better life with her son. His mother's already difficult life goes from bad to worse. She must now care for her elderly grandmother with dementia, who is unable to care for herself. You know, today, even a half century later, child abandonment is widespread among China's 288 million migrant workers. According to a 2017 report by UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, there are an estimated 61 million children worldwide who have been abandoned. The film's producer, Clifford Mew, spoke regarding the painful issue of child abandonment. Here's what Mew said. "Someone close to me was a victim of abandonment at a young age, so the story hit me hard. I could empathize with the young character's suffering. Abandonment is a universal subject. Everyone has at some point felt abandoned or suffered the grim regret of being responsible for abandoning something or someone. Yu Chao had a personal stake in the story, and knowing that this film helped strengthen the relationship between him and his mother was something that I found unusual and deeply moving." Of course, there have been many, many people who have suffered this horrible scourge of child abandonment. There's been many, many people who have had to endure either a father or a mother or both giving up, throwing in the towel, and abandoning their children to relatives, to friends, to whoever. Child Protective Services. An awful, awful thing. And you know, if you're listening today and you've never had to endure something like that, you're truly blessed. You're truly blessed. But even though you may have not had to endure some kind of child abandonment in your life, that doesn't mean that you haven't felt abandoned and set aside in other ways. Sometimes things happen and we feel like the whole world has cast us aside. You know, unfortunately, even for people who are believers, even for people who love the Lord, there are times when they feel that even God has abandoned them, that God has forsaken them, that God's not listening to them. They cry out to Him over and over, and yet it seems like there's just total silence on the other end. You know, as we read Psalm chapter 13, this very thing happened to King David. King David was crying out to God because he felt like God had abandoned him. He felt like God was nowhere to be found in some of the most difficult times in his life. And so this morning, that's what I'd like to talk to you about. What do we do? What do we do when we feel as if God has abandoned us? And that's the title that I've given to my message this morning. The title I've given to my message is When You Feel Like God Has Abandoned You. Let's take a moment and go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we pause right now as your people. We're so thankful, Lord, to have this technology that even though we're separated all across the globe, Lord, we're so thankful to be able to take advantage of this technology and share the good news, share the good word of God with your people and with everyone who has tuned in to listen, Lord, today. And Father, only you know where everyone is at right now, spiritually, in the matter of their well-being, mentally, hope, feeling vital, feeling strong, Lord. Only you know the hearts of every person listening. And so, Father, we just commit every person to your good hand today. And we pray that your word would be powerful, that it would be mighty, that the Spirit of God would use this to strengthen, to encourage, and yes, Lord, to even set our hearts on fire with joy. And we pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Julian Lennon was the son of Beatle John Lennon, and he was abandoned by his father at the age of 5. Over 20 years ago, in 1998, he spoke the following words. Julian Lennon said about his dad, "I felt he was a hypocrite. Dad could talk about peace and love out loud to the world, but he could never show it to the people who supposedly meant the most to him, his wife and son. How could you talk about peace and love and have a family in bits and pieces?" Well, as I mentioned earlier, abandonment by a parent is an awful, awful thing to have to endure. I feel for every child, even if the parent doesn't leave physically, maybe they've just been abandoned emotionally. Maybe they've just felt that the parent could care less about them and they maybe even despise them and hate them and wish they weren't there in that home. But regardless of that circumstance, I'm so thankful, as I spoke to you about 2 weeks ago in that passage in Romans 8 where it says that the love of God, nothing will separate us from that. Nothing will separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful that we have God's ironclad promise that if we've put our faith in Him for eternal life, He's promised to be there for us, even when it doesn't seem like that's the case. He's promised to never leave us or forsake us, and He is there. But, what do we do? What do we do when, in our innermost being, deep down inside of us, we feel like God is nowhere to be found? Well, there's three things I want to share with you this morning, and this is the first one. When you feel abandoned by God, it is time to pour out your heart in prayer. When you feel abandoned by God, it is time to pour out your heart in prayer. Now notice, I want to emphasize that word feel, because feelings can really get a hold of us. And they may not be true. They may not be real. What we're feeling on the inside may not be the truth. For instance, even King David felt like God had forsaken him. But the reality was that God would never do that. And He's promised not to do that. And He never has done that. Look at verse 1. Look at the feelings rolling around in King David's heart. He says in verse 1, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" So David's got problems. David's got issues that he's battling. They've been going on for a long time, obviously, because in the first two verses, he says those words, "How long," four times. Four times in two verses, David cries out to God, "Oh Lord, how long?" He's been dealing with these a long time. And he's got no answers to his prayers. It's just as if God isn't there. So David feels like God has forsaken him. In fact, he says, "Will you forget me forever?" Apparently, this has been going on for quite a long time. David's not thinking clearly. He's running by feelings and not by the truth of God's Word. And you know what? When we start thinking like that, when we start saying in our minds, "Lord, how long will you hide your face from me?" That is the time for you and I to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to get reconnected with God. We need to think clearly. And in just a little bit, I'm going to show you one of the prayers that David prayed that's so important for us to pray. But number one, lesson number one this morning is that when you feel abandoned by God, it is time to pour out your heart to Him in prayer. Now, this is the second lesson, and it's in verse 2. Lesson number 2 is, when you feel like you're ready to go crazy, it's time to pray like crazy. When you feel like you're ready to go crazy, it's time to pray like crazy. Notice David's frustration here in verse 2. He's trying and trying and trying to connect with God, but in his mind, nothing is changing. Nothing's changing. Verse 2, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul?" You know, David's sitting in his own counselor's office in his mind. And he's mulling these things over, and he's hashing them out in his mind, and he's running on his feelings instead of walking by faith. "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily?" He's just all torn up. He feels like God's abandoned him. And again, he's running by feelings. "How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" He had real problems. Just like all of us have right now, we are in the midst of a very, very troublesome time in our lives. This is basically unprecedented. This is something that most people here on this earth, unless they're very, very old, haven't gone through. And so, it's enough to drive you crazy. So David's taking counsel. He's trying to figure a way out, but nothing seems to be working. He's got this inner pain killing him, sorrow in his heart daily. He's got the enemies he's afraid that are going to take over and take him out. And you know what? Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel that way physically? Do you ever feel that way emotionally? Do you ever feel that way spiritually? It just seems like no matter what you do, no matter what you do, you just can't figure out what all God's trying to do, what's going on in your life, what's going on in heaven. You're just trying to make sense of it. But unfortunately, so often we let our feelings tell us how to function instead of letting this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus, letting God's word and his promises take control. So, lesson number two reminds us that whenever you're at the end of your rope, whenever you're there, what you need to do is to tie a knot, to hang on, and to pray like crazy. That's what David did. That's what we need to do. And the Bible tells us this in Psalm 55, verse 22. The Bible tells us to cast your burden on the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall sustain you. He will see you through. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved or to be shaken. He's just not going to permit that. He's not going to permit you to go through difficulties that you can't handle. Difficulties that cause you to collapse. He'll be there with you. He'll be there for you. He's hearing your prayers. Don't go by feelings. Walk by faith. Walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, Christian friend, walk by faith. So lesson number one, when you feel like you've been abandoned by God, it's time to pour out your heart in prayer. When you feel like you're going crazy, lesson two, you need to pray like crazy. And then finally, I want to get to lesson number three. Now, before I do, I want to ask you this question. We talked about casting our burdens on the Lord. And I'm wondering in your life today, obviously the coronavirus, lack of jobs, lack of income, all these things swirling around, the fear of catching the coronavirus, all these things. But what about on a practical level? How about what burden do you need to keep casting on the Lord until He comes to your rescue? How about marriage problems? Maybe it's been very difficult for you in your marriage right now, and you and your spouse need to take that to the Lord and cast it upon Him. Ask for His victory. How about problems with finances? How about financial issues? Man, this has to be hurting a lot of people right now in the world. What do? We cast it on the Lord. What about problems with your kids? A lot of families have their kids with them now, day in, day out, morning, noon, and night, and Lord, and it can get very, very difficult. You need to cast that on the Lord. How about a job? Maybe you're out of a job, or maybe you're stuck in a job that you just hate. And you don't know what to do. You're just so depressed and so worn out. Well, maybe you should take that and cast that upon the Lord and say, Lord, I sure could use your encouragement and help. Lord, send me an unforeseen blessing. Send something my way that'll encourage me. Send someone my way. You could cast that on the Lord. Or maybe you're just fighting good old-fashioned loneliness. You know, you haven't had the opportunity to get out with friends or family or the people that you enjoy being with and having a meal together, meeting for lunch, meeting for dinner, going to your favorite restaurant, or going over to someone else's home. And you're just hurting. You're just hurting so much. It's time to cast our burden on the Lord. When you feel like you're going crazy, it's time to pray like crazy. And now finally, lesson number three. Lesson number three is this. If we fail to pray to God like we should, we might see things go from bad to worse. If we fail to pray to God like we should, we might see things go from bad to worse. You know, David begged God to hear him because he knew without God's intervention, without God's help, the horrible situation he was in could get worse. Look at verse 3. David says here, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God." So he's crying out to God. He's saying, "Lord, I really need you to hear what I'm asking, Lord. I really need you, Lord." He says this, "Enlighten my eyes. Lord, I don't think I'm seeing the situation I'm in clearly. I don't think that I'm thinking clearly. I think I might be running on my feelings and not by faith. And Lord, please enlighten my eyes. Open my eyes, Lord, so I can understand what's swirling around me. Help me to see clearly, Lord. Enlighten my eyes, lest or else I will sleep the sleep of death." Wow. Now that's heavy. David must have been in some really, really nasty problems. I mean, maybe his health was failing. And then, of course, his enemies didn't help matters. He was afraid that the possibly foreign armies were going to come in and attack the country that he was the king over. But regardless of what all things were happening in his life, David was basically saying to the Lord here in this verse, "Lord, if you don't answer me, if you don't help me to understand these things, I might end up just keeling over dead here. I don't know if my body can take it much longer. I'm collapsing, Lord." So, folks, at this time of coronavirus and COVID-19, if there was ever a time for you and I to be on our knees regularly, you know, Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Give us this day our daily bread. Give us day by day." The Lord was saying to you and I, you know what, when you pray, it probably would be a good thing for you to come to me every day. Now, he doesn't come out and say that if you don't, you're sinning against me. But there's just something there in the Lord's words, implicit in his words, that remind us that we need to take our time with God in prayer seriously. This is the time we need to pray. And this is the time we need to ask God to enlighten our eyes, to help us to see clearly, to think clearly, to make decisions clearly about everything that's swirling around us. And this is the time to remember what our Father has told us in His Word, to remember His exceedingly great and precious promises. In June of 1992, Jim Davidson and Mike Price climbed Mount Rainier. On the way down from the top of the mountain, the two climbers fell 80 feet through a snow bridge into what's called a glacial crevasse. We might call it a crevice, a crack. They fell, folks, 8 stories, 80 feet into this pitch black crevasse. It's a crack in the massive glaciers that cover Mount Rainier. Davidson's friend, Mike Price, died because of the fall. In his book called The Ledge, Jim Davidson tells the story of his miraculous survival and his courageous climb out of that crevasse. Throughout the book, he reflects back to his childhood and his young adult years, and he describes his relationship with his father. You know, as early as he could remember, his father had shown what some had considered almost a reckless confidence in his son. Jim worked for his father painting high, steep, pitched roofs and electrical towers as early as age 12. The work terrified Jim Davidson's mother, but his father kept communicating his belief that he could accomplish great things if he pressed through adversity and kept going. Well, as Jim Davidson stood bloodied and bruised on the 2-foot-wide snow ledge next to the dead body of his climbing partner, he heard the voice of his father. The years of inspiration that Jim's father had invested in him flooded back into his mind and washed over him in encouragement. With minimal gear and no experience in ice climbing at that level, Jim spent the next 5 hours climbing out, battling fatigue and the crumbling ice and snow that threatened to bury him. Throughout his ordeal, Jim kept recalling the words of his father. 5 grueling hours later, thanks to his father's words, Jim climbed out of the crevasse to safety. And my friends today, when you feel like God has abandoned you, when you feel like nothing will ever change for the better, you need to be like Jim Davidson. And you need to keep recalling the words of your father. Pour out your heart to him in prayer. And never, ever forget the promise that he has made to you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't run by your feelings. The old saying is, feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. I'll trust in God's unchanging word. Nothing else is worth believing. So do not trust your feelings. Feelings can be very deceptive, especially when you get down, especially when you get depressed, especially when you can't see light at the end of the tunnel. So stay close to God. Be in His Word. Be on your knees in prayer and be a blessing to others. There's nothing that'll pull you out of those inner feelings, those feelings that are just tearing you up on the inside, than reaching out and touching the lives of others around you. Just before I close in prayer, I know that there are a lot of people who have trusted in the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. They're 100% sure that they have eternal life and that they'll be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. I know that so many of you have done that. You've trusted in Christ, you've taken Him at His word, and now you know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven, and that you'll be with Him forever because of His amazing grace. But I also know that there are many people that are listening that just right now aren't yet 100% sure. Maybe you're like I was at the welding factory in Chicago when I was doing my undergrad at Purdue. And maybe you're thinking like I was thinking. Somebody asked me if I knew I was 100% sure I was going to heaven, and my first response to them was this: no, I'm not sure, but I'd like to be. I'm not sure, but I'd like to be. And you know what? I want to show you just one verse this morning before I pray and encourage you to think about this deeply. That verse is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 6 and verse 40. The Lord Jesus said these words, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I, Jesus said, will raise him up at the last day." I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus said, whoever believes has everlasting life. And of course, when you study the Bible, you recognize that when it says whoever believes, it doesn't mean something like most people think. Well, I believe in the big man upstairs or something like that. Of course there's a God. That kind of thing. And it's not even like believing that Jesus walked the earth or believing that Jesus died on the cross or that he was buried or that he rose from the dead. Many, many people believe those things. There's a lot of good things in Scripture to believe, but those things don't save a person from eternal condemnation. Jesus is saying, when he says here, whoever believes in me may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What the Lord Jesus is saying here, he's saying to you and I, whoever believes in me for eternal life. You are trusting in the Lord Jesus for his gift of everlasting life. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, as we saw last week, but the free gift of God is everlasting life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And this is the will of the Heavenly Father. Here in this verse we just looked at, this is the will of him who sent me, Jesus says. This is his will. It's for his created beings, all creation. He wants every single person to do his will, which is to believe in his Son for eternal life, that they have it, and they have it forever and ever. So again, when you can know that you have eternal life when you've done what Jesus says to do, and what Jesus says to do, the content that you need to believe is that he is the way to God, Jesus is the way to God, and he's the only way to God, and there is no other way to the Father but through him. When you believe that, then Jesus promises that you have everlasting life. It's not based on any good works that we do or any deeds that we do for God, help that we give to others, generosity, the gifts that we give to others, the good things that we do, the kindnesses that we show. Those are all wonderful things, and I'm all for, and God's all for, people doing good deeds. But the Lord is clear, not by works of righteousness, which we do, but according to his mercy, he saves us. It's not by works of righteousness. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says that, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of good works, lest anyone should boast. It is the gift of God. And so, my friend, if you're listening today or you're watching this live stream, if you have never put your faith in Christ for his free gift, do it right now. Take him at his word. Put your faith in him to give you an eternal home with him. And you'll be so thankful that you did, because you'll have his promise and the Father's promise that you will never perish, and neither will anyone be able to pluck you out of God's hand. Amazing, amazing promises. Would you bow in prayer with me? Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Now, Lord, I know there's a lot of people who have already put their faith in you that are suffering immensely, Lord. I know that this pandemic has taken their legs out from under them in many, many ways. And Lord, how we all, as your people, pray for one another and lift up prayer for those who have lost loved ones, Lord. Precious, precious loved ones. For those who have lost jobs, for those who have loved ones in ICU and they can't even get to them to see them, that have loved ones in nursing homes that they can't see in person. Very difficult, Father, and we pray for all, for every single person who's in those circumstances. And then, Father, of course, we also pray for all of those who are listening, but they still have not believed you, Father. They still have not taken you at your word in regard to this absolutely free gift of eternal life. Lord, maybe they want to hang on to this idea that there's some kind of catch, or there's some kind of strings attached, or there's some kind of small print down at the bottom of this contract. But Lord, there's no contract, there's no small print. God, you're making promises, and all you're asking people to do is to believe them. And so, Father, how we pray for all of those folks that still need Christ and his life, eternal life. Father, we put them all in your good hands and ask you to bring them to yourself in your perfect timing. Father, thank you once again for your mighty word. Thank you that we don't have to doubt you. Thank you that we can walk by faith and not by feelings or by sight. And we pray all these things in your mighty and matchless name, Lord Jesus. Amen.